Yeah, don't be late, that's why.
Alright, okay, we're about to get started. So today, we've got Andrew and David. They're going to be talking about BC10 class known applications and how to make them totally rad in a variety of languages. So it's going to be an interactive session. It should be pretty cool. Andrew and David, it's all yours.
So for myself, to get started, I want to say the camera is one thing. This is for the people in the room. For all of you watching at home, that's just too bad.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, this is to be a very highly interactive session. We're going to be hopping back and forth between David and I. We're going to be showing a lot of code. Hopefully, you'll be able to see the screen. If you're sitting in the back and you can't see, you've got to watch it. You can get up and move in front. Or you can complain, and we'll see about getting better for your font sizes and whatnot. But, there are a lot of things up here that I'd be able to do this evening. The camera guy has asked for a code change of like 45 minutes or something, so we can certainly you get a chance to get the heck out of the room and get a reader. I know that when I was in university, sitting in a room like this for more than 42 minutes, I was out! And I have no qualms about accepting the fact that you guys will be out against the 42 minute mark as well. So if anybody's still waiting to the 50 minute mark, then that's pretty cool.
I think that's
too
much
coverage. Yeah. Who the heck are we? You answered me, and I'm going to.
Okay, so Andrew Cowie is a management consultant. He had a commercial group in 1997. I don't know if he's Canadian, from Toronto. And he's a little creepy guy. If you want to know anything about Java, you've got to ask him for security. You watch him write Java, my better.
So David is a well-known contributor. He is the one you can blame for any applets in your GNOME desktop that aren't working. And the rest of the features on bugs. David actually works for a seismic imaging firm. And one of the really cool things is that they write and develop an enormous number of GTK applications to help take the data that they model and process in order to analyze it. And David is largely responsible for them being a GTK shop, having a user making the speed of Python to do some really, really rad stuff. And later talk today, I'm sure I can tell you about some of my companies. One final personal note. I can hear myself pretty hot here through this microphone. Can you hear me? I'm glaring you in the front, then we'll work on the immediate results. As a personal note, you guys have invested a lot to choose this room over all the others. I can let you mind rest one thing. Rather than next door, is a talk you go download the slides. Because I thought India is a great talk, but actually the content of it really isn't fun. So don't feel bad about missing it. And you want to walk it off and see Kim Leather all talking about legal stuff? No problem. But I do appreciate the fact that you've taken the time to come and visit with us this morning. And this is a guarantee I give to anyone in the tutorial, anyone in the world, when I give them, be them on management operations topics or something like this. At the end of this, if you're not satisfied, if you didn't get out of this what you expected to, then you come and see us afterwards and we'll make it right personally between us and you. Alright, one of one.
Okay, so GTK class is the library that powers GNOME and desktop. It also powers XFCE as a desktop. It also powers Nokia N770 as a desktop, or whatever. And it powers the new OneLaptop Child external sugar interface as a desktop. GTK is actually a very powerful library. It's based on some perhaps older S11 concepts that they have been powerful for. But at the same time, it's designed to be cross-platform. It works on Windows, Mac OS, as well as Linux or previous platforms. Can you see that? Okay. The difference between GTK cross-platform and, say, WX widget cross-platform is that GTK is using the same widget rendering on all platforms. The native look and feel is designed by a theme, which means you get the same power as we talk about on all platforms. Compare this to something like WX widget, which is using the native widget library for that platform. And as a result, you kind of have the only things you can use are features which are a subset of all the widget libraries. So we'll discuss show up live to CDK, these slides are actually what I was expecting. We'll go through building UI, discuss box packing, which we'll discuss the main loop, because if you don't understand the main loop, then it gets complicated. And then we'll do some C, some Java, some Python. We'll go back to the beginning in each one. So we'll start beginning with C, so we'll kind of gloss over the beginning in the next two languages, and then we'll, because you don't want to see it stop the same application three times, and we don't want to do it.
On the other hand, we're like being really audacious here, and we intend to write the apps in front of your eyes. And that's on purpose. Hopefully, this will result in speed being such that you can sort of grok what's going on and mull it over. Usually what happens in tutorials like this is that somebody throws up some finished piece of code that's got 4 hours of debugging in it. And goes, oh, yeah, it's easy, see? And well, it's kind of easy when you already know what you're doing and you're looking at documentation or code as a reference. But when you're first learning something, then it can be kind of tricky. And that's sort of the audience that we're trying to speak to here. If you're already a GTK ninja, then we appreciate you hanging out. But this audio, this is a tutorial for people that want to learn French. And the reason we're doing three languages is because I couldn't think of a better way to drive home the message that if GTK itself, the concepts are important, and the implementation in each of these three languages, it doesn't matter so much. And you'll see the same themes again and again, and then it's just different styles of content. And maybe, depending on your own background, different words will be suitable.
Okay, so why don't you choose GTK? We went through the fact that platforms, it's fast, it's flexible, it's ubiquitous, it's on every single Linux distribution chip today. Maybe with the exception of Smoothwall, but it's a real Linux distribution chip today. It's available on every platform you could ever want. As well as the C, Python, Java, the language we're going to cover, they're fairly main language nowadays. Here's a list of some of the lists. This is a good list of language GTK is available. So C, C++, Ruby, Haskell, C#, PHP, Rectangle, Python, Erlang, Wire, Scheme, Lisp, Lua, Apache, Simple, Scorecore.
Okay, that's like a really bad ringtone. That was your camera shutter sound? That was like weird.
It's also there with Ada and Pascal and Fortran and but you know, how else are we going to get?
Prologue. The reality is that some of us are well maintained, some of us kind of ask in Bitrot, and what in particular is being reinvented?
The problem is it's licensing the LGPL. So if you're writing free code, fantastic, great, that's exactly what we want, we're a free culture, but at the same time, if you're writing at the commercial interest, then you intend to market, and perhaps your company would comfortable yet with releasing their source code, or for some reason would choose not to release their source code, that's the case too, you're within the balance of license. So, this is a pre-product version. This is what is probably,
I'm going to say one thing.
Most of the talk is going to focus on GTK because in learning GTK, you'll also get an entree to how to use the right to GNOME API because they're built with the same building block.
But one comment I would think about GNOME as a whole is that it's actually not just GTK that's LGPL, but pretty much the entire GNOME stack is LGPL or even more liberal. And the reason I make note of this is that it's perhaps of interest that the reason that I just went back is just as a little tidbit that I learned a couple years ago at Linux, is Nokia, when they made the 770 device, they went with the GNOME stack instead of the Qt-KDE stack because of the fact that it's LGPL. Now, that's actually a pretty compelling case of why the GPL is in sometimes a license model can work. And you know, sometimes some people choose to pay a license to you, and I'm going to deal with license with GPL and you know, get your code so they can use it, you know, prior to your case. And sometimes people choose not to use it. I really value the fact that people can make that choice, and I really appreciate the two different business models. It is interesting in this case to see that GNOME's LGPL culture is one of the things that led Nokia to be now a major participant.
Okay, so very quick word of versions. This just is one running on a laptop. these unbilled requirements, because I know in last year's position of privacy, and you're writing a recent JS2, I think. So this should work with any reasonably modern Linux. This works like Fedora Core 6 machine. GCC, recent, GTK, something new about 2.8, then you probably said. Recent Python, recent Java patch. Glade 3, we'll show Glade 3 lots of kinds of things, and to be honest, it's superior in every way to Glade 2. Glade 2 would never miss a lot as well as it did, and there was a sad story behind that, but
this is a problem of releasing your prototype and never go away. So maybe we'll talk about the version. One thing about GTK itself is that these guys have maintained not only API compatibility, but ABI compatibility back to the 2.0 days. And is anybody really not familiar with the fact that those releases every 6 months? Okay. GTK doesn't do them quite that rapidly. They tend to be on a 9 to 12 month cycle. But one of the things that keeps coming up, and it's almost trolling, so you see this on the GTK mailing list quite a bit, is people saying, oh, well, I want to just do GTK 2.8 because that's older, more stable code. Well, the open source world doesn't really work that way. What tends to happen is that versions older than N are, if not completely abandoned, are generally only going to get really important security fixes from that. Backporting is too hard. On the other hand, GTK 2.10 is just a superset of GTK 2.8 plus bug fixes plus a few new features. And in general, those new features may have buggy code paths, but the bulk of the library, which has been inherited over the years and the name stuff, the 2.8 foundation, which is the 2.6 foundation, and so on, that just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. If you look at the release notes for any reason, GTK or glib or other library, you'll see that just low-level fixes to really fewer corner cases, the library just gets stronger and stronger. So if all you've got on your machine is GTK 2.8, if you've got access to 2.10, then there's no reason not to use it. It's not like picking a stable version of the operating system that's been robustly tested in the world. In free software, you tend to do the latest version. It actually uses the most stable. You do have to be aware of what the new features are, because those aren't the most stable necessarily, but usually the core gets stronger and stronger. And that applies to most of the data.
Yeah, but you also know because it's very popular.
So, having covered some background, let's just get to view this. The design of the GTK, so GTK itself, where did that acronym come from? Well, back in the late 90s, there were a bunch of guys working on a tool you might have heard of called the GIMP. The GIMP is a photo manipulation tool. And back then, there wasn't much in the way of who the toolkit to use. Has anybody heard of Motiva? Really ugly? Well, the GIMP guys, being graphics and judge, we're like, wow, the GIMP is really ugly. Let's do our own. Which of course is wacko and woo-woo, but it's awesome. And GTK is the GIMP toolkit. And myself, I'll tell you, a little personal anecdote. The reason I'm a GNOME guy, is that my trip at 97, 98, when I looked at GNOME 1.0 earlier, and looked at some early KDE version, the GNOME application, the GTK application, had nice square gray buttons. And a QT program had rounded yellow buttons. I thought that looked really, really sick. So I went with the square gray button, and GTK got all you need to know. That's why this is GTK prefix on all these class names. And when you start seeing C code, and David starts demonstrating that in a few minutes, you'll start to see that the names get used in different ways, and there's macros, and it follows one naming convention, and cast instructions follow another naming convention. And then you'll see that in the Java and Python side, we ditched the GTK prefix because we got one. You'll see people use the terms interchangeably, and we will today as well. If I talk about a widget, I'm talking about a GTK widget. If I'm talking about a GTK window, I'm also talking about a window. We're using the terms interchangeably. But if you use a different windowing toolkit in your experience, you'll probably come across similar concepts. The difference here today is sort of how they fit together. One thing that we want to show you with this picture was that one of the funny things that computer users actually struggle with, see it on Windows and on our own desktop, is that the desktop isn't the top of the wireless, right? and nor is my computer icon, like me clicking on Windows or you know, the computer or back on a Chrome desktop. It's not actually not very on the desktop, it's just on Android desktop, or on any desktop with where we are. Right? And down here, again, it's a high-level artifact. The same thing happens in widgets. I think everybody would understand that an application starts with a window, right? Well, cool with that? Well, window is actually down here. And it inherits all the way from widget, which is the generic thing that is the top of the inherent hierarchy. Inherent hierarchy, that's probably worth noting. GTK is very, very object-oriented. In fact, it's so object-oriented that it's kind of like not even C anymore. The way you use it, you actually have all the power of an object-oriented language available, but they work all that up in the structures that you can use from the C side. And, of course, for the object-oriented languages that are founded, it falls into place really nicely. In fact, it's morphed and cleaned off a little bit over the years so that it would actually be, you know, would fit into properly the whole language. And so this is an object inherent hierarchy.
Okay. It's worth pointing out with these from here. It says GTK, which is tough, but the top level object is thinking of a G object. So it's not important here. GTK widget is the highest level thing you can put on the screen. G object is the highest level thing you can store data and use all the GTK object features.
So you'll actually start seeing echoes of that when we pull up documentation pages and see an inherent hierarchy. But just to get you familiar with some of the names that we're reading off the bat. What I want to show as well is that we're going to talk about the packing model that you use to build up these interfaces, obviously. One is really interesting difference is that I'm going to be talking about window and button kind of, and they inherit something called bin, and you know, does this even carry relevant? No, except that bin is a container that only has one child in it. Whereas container generally is something that has many children in it, maybe we're managing with one. And so they don't go to a huge level of abstraction. They've only did abstraction when there are functionality that can pop up. But for instance, bin exposes a get child method, which of course you can't do on container because you know they have to get children. And so that's why window and button are down here, because a window has one thing in it. And of course, if you want to make something more complex with it, you just put all one thing that has the ability to pack more things to it than what it can do in here. It has one of these things in it, we'll be talking about that again. On the other hand, you've got all kinds of other stuff, which is, and actually there's stuff in between these two and stuff below them. And there's just, you know, it's not a balanced tree by any stretch. It's not all over the place as a character required.
Okay, so building a UI in GTK, you have a number of options. As it says here, you can write code. The fundamental way to build a new UI in GTK is to write some code. You can then programmatically create custom content. You can programmatically decide how to put the layout together. And it's useful for when you're putting together smaller widgets because it's normally not all the code. So I'm actually showing you a demonstration. We won't quite go into depth about what we're doing just yet with the box packing, but this will be a GTK window with a GTK button in it. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
GTK Edge. That's a typical of dragging the GTK Edge out. In main, GitHub, GitHub.rb, great with my program. So, the GTK widget style window. That's the pointer to a widget, the pointer with main window, right? When you're writing GTK code in C, even though GTK widget is actually going to be a GTK window, it actually pays to use GTK widget with type. We can then cut up into whatever type we need it to be in for a particular function call, because C is strongly typed. But at least that way, you always know what type every single one of your widgets is. It's always a type GTK widget. It's just, it's something you have to do, but it's a style you see many people follow, and it actually keeps you safe. So, GTK widget, start off. The only thing to do is call GTK init, and B, and B. This initializes the type system and half of the other bits and pieces. It also reads out your CNRV vectors so that it can access things like dash dash display. You can pass that in the command line. If I don't work with this demo, because that doesn't have a full cool copy. Yeah, okay. And there's a function you can get, GTK widget show all, which will work down the packing tree and show all the widgets that we've tapped into that tree. So in this case, the button. The last thing to do is to run in GTK main. We're not using any of the complicated sequencing. I'm just doing a single line on the square line, which, when you're writing very quick or quite a bit of GTK, that's the best way to do it. I normally start writing a program like this and using Alpara a lot. And once I get a true file, I'll choose a very simple make file. And once I actually, once we're serious about it, I'll switch to using a build sequence. Okay.
So everybody knows that file, a key file, you have to get, you know, source name, dot key file, that's how you get the name of the target executable. So complete it. What I'm going to ask you to do is that package config command that you just ran was actually some really nifty voodoo that's built in the GNOME library stack. And so if you might ask in the run this command, you'll see what it spits out is a whole bunch of .NULL, and .NULL, which are all the libraries you need to link against in order to build your program. Now, if you have to figure that out by hand, that would be really a pain in the ass, right? But the GNOME build stack provides each library that gets installed something on a package config file, if you've got a .pc extension, and just got some variables in it, like what loops do I need? And of course, the voodoo magic to look at what the heck that is on your computer distro is pain and suffering for the people who do the packaging on your distribution, but that's not your problem. And if you do a few lines, which is cool, the difference here is all the includes. And again, finding, you know, what the include paths are for all the different libraries that we've got. And instantly, our slides will be available lots of this, and there are slides that summarize at least this part of it. And in my case, we talk with all the online and stuff. So you can figure this stuff out.
If you're trying to imagine it, it's a little over time. Okay, so you can see here we've inlined, this is just a shell inline for the package from the top. So all these variables will pass inline GCC. So hopefully it can pass the time. That's your machine spot. Well, okay, excellent. So if you remember, top slash demo. So if you can track that out, and we'll actually figure that point by doesn't do anything yet. Okay. So now we have to
David just typed a whole bunch of stuff, and already there's a lot of arcane knowledge that we're more saying to be getting it stuff on. But we hope to have two projectors and just really split like hold it on the thing, but that didn't happen. So, So this is, I'll zoom up one slide scale. This is, you can see the URL bar is developer.gnome.org, and come there, and you can also get there from www.gtk.org. This is where the documentation for a GTK button is, and it's really going. Well, we did button new, right? And so the new with label function that David called, it's right here. It's a content pointer. And actually, one of the reasons I want to pull this up is to make an observation that GTK, after we refactored it, one thing still built on called glib, not to be confused with glib C. The glib is a generic library that has all kinds of, it's basically a re-implementation of a standard library, if you will. But it has type safe and portability safe wrappers for just about everyone. So for example, this GCAR thing here, probably called it, I think, plan sometimes, I don't know if it's where we ended up, we're almost there. So what's GCAR? Well, actually, it's pretty simple to find it in GCAR, but there are other platforms where it actually might be defined a little bit differently. That's not necessarily the best example, but there
issues with type sizes like unsigned ints, and so they have unsigned int 32 and 64, all done in type-safe and portable ways that they then, you know, triggers when they build the library. That's how they achieve portability. So meanwhile, you've got, in the API documentation, you've got all kinds of stuff. And remember I was saying that names show up in different forms? Well, here's GTK button uses a type. Here's GTK button in longhand in the function name, not the method name. And if you switch back to the code, you know, there's a the stuff that I show you. And here are these things that as confident and tact are done in capitals. That's kind of old piece of style convention where macros are always in capitals and storage and unconstant. That's the way it is. But you know, whether it's GTK widget or GTK widget or GTK something else, it's the naming pattern is obviously consistent. And that's where all these names come from. So David's obviously an experienced GTK key programmer, but where you guys end up from and where you can start learning it from, at least for reference purposes, is that API document.
So the other thing, if you want to see the API that's working for websites, this piece is called DevHelp. It literally looks up a simple attempt. So you search here, I want to pick new button, GTK, button, new. And you can see down on the left, it's GTK button new, GTK button new from stock, new with labels, new with mnemonic. So it's actually a really good way to search documentation. And it's actually good when you're playing, because you can't get into the web.
Yeah, this is more like a machine, like, you know, like a web page, but if you install a GTK library with the appropriate documentation on, or do the GTK package on it?
It's a package on Ubuntu, and I think it's a package on Debian, and it's a package on Fedora.
Yeah. It's a document flag on Gentoo. With all this stuff being installed locally, so that, really, as David was saying, really helpful when you're offline. But there's the same API reference documentation.
Okay.
So first up, first example. Who is getting really lost yet? Oh, okay, so wow. Okay, so that was the live use pilot, except that's actually wrong.
We'll fix that for 5 and 9. Take out that list. Okay. So back to building UI. We wrote some code, it required us to know a thing, it required us to set. Well, it wasn't that complicated yet, but it'll get much more complicated if we're going to do anything more involving the button in the window. So the second way to write UI is to use a thing called Glade. Glade is an interface builder. It's great for building big complex interfaces. It's even great for building smaller interfaces. Or even chunk interfaces. You can build a chunk of interface to then have another interface. You don't have to enough. So things you build don't necessarily have to be put inside Windows. You can simply build smaller, useful components that get packed into larger things. Glade writes up an XML file, a .glade file, but it's literally an XML schema. In the old days, people used to use that to generate source code, which don't do it. In new versions of Glade, things can be removed because don't do it.
Well, then I think, why would you not want to get, like, so the fact that all this boilerplate code is, generated, we're like, oh, what a cool idea. What's the end pattern?
You gotta write it later.
Exactly. And because it's, C is compiler readable, but it's not machine readable what it XML is. And what happens because the problem is generally an issue known as the round trip problem. You can output the C stuff, but of course, once you start passing on it and adding your own code to it, can you get back to Glade? No. Right? So people started to realize that having done a prototyper that actually the well, and James Hinkins is the credit for this thing. We'll give James Hinkins the credit and we're wronging someone else to do that.
So what
James did, and the term is libglade, are these things. Glade is the UI plan, which David's firing up right now. And there actually are a couple other tools which have the same XML data. And then this libglade is something that we're using. In our code in a minute, it's something you can read the XML data that's done it and do some just wicked magic to create widgets from it live in your application.
Okay, so, a GTK widget with a GTK button with Glade. So, this is the Glade UI planner.
see that here on the left, we have, on the left we have all the widgets we want to use. You can actually go view, LAS, you know, text power icon. Now I can see the name. So you can see window, dialog box, about dialog, the navigator, the one that's the container format, window format widget, so I can't know. And then buttons, images, scroll bars, mostly widgets you don't want to use. You also see one Xamarin obsolete, which is still there for compatibility with our applications, but you shouldn't be using them. And this is another one here that we're not interested in right now, so we'll just come up with it. So, window with a button, we can go, so window, and show for window. This monitor is awesome, quite hot off quite good. So down in the window, you can see you've got the simple pattern. This is obviously a container, so you can place something in it. So if you scroll down, button, click on button, click, bang, and button. So you can see here on the right, we actually have the packages.
Why is your interface only one window?
This is new layer.
Right.
Okay, it's kind of
3.0.
Yeah.
It's the same conceptual power, but I've got nothing against single window interface design, but it's a bit cumbersome because of the fact that you constantly have to switch between things that are overlapping each other, and so they switch to a single window that has it all packed together in
those two. There is a way to actually break this apart, which we don't have to drive over watch. I much prefer that here. Okay, so you can see on the right here, up here, we've got the packing, we pack a button into a window. We can give this some text. Maybe I can actually select that. Oh, yeah. So we can actually button like that. Change.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's pretty straightforward. You can see here we've got tabs of properties, and properties, and properties, all these rectangles, and properties. So
the business properties is actually each widget type has a whole, and this is something they inherit from the object, has the notion of properties. And usually there are explicit functions to set or get as appropriate those properties. But they are things like, there are very secure things, and actually the toolkits they lay are reasonably helpful because they give you some of the verbiage about what the property is for.
Okay. Is this written by introspection?
I believe so. When the types are registered, somebody wrote out this string of code about what the property does, and it's actually registered in the library. But no one ever sees that, and the documentation is different than the string, so I think they're getting it right out of the library, and you could dig for it traditionally find the text online yourself.
I think it's serving part of the question. I think there's a certain amount that you need to define the net nil file that defines the library that I'm not entirely sure how it's generated.
There is a lot of reading in Blade. If you're a Java person or a sensitive Python person who thinks of introspection, it gets most of the way there, but C itself doesn't give you the tools and input a lot of registration and lookup type functions. And there's an enormous amount there. And really, what powered both of that was accessibility, actually. That's actually maybe 6% of the widgeting. So, if you look at the inspector, it's showing at the beginning of the widget screen, window one and button one, which are useful names that you can come up with, but whatever. Well,
I can tell it's even better, the high one. And, you know, why would you pick a descriptive name like this? Why would you even care? One is going to be that actually someone's going to need these names to get the widget out to be able to do that in a moment. But from an accessibility standpoint, people who are using screen readers, as they move around the screen, they get told the name of the button. You're on the high button, you're on the latest label, you're focused on something. And I actually kind of feel bad if people are not going to listen to this, but I don't think terribly many people pay a lot of attention to these names. But it's going to be the kind of thing that you think is something you have to be using a lot. It's worth a little bit of trouble to write that and other things like that.
Is that
a
Hodgson?
Yes, it is. No, that's quite good. You can use any setting. What Hodgson is underscore, camel case? No, you couldn't.
Right.
To be sure, no, I can use them.
There are other places where further metadata can be given to the accessibility. In fact, in the accessibility tab, this is where you can put text that is read out to the person. But nevertheless, the keys that are used to identify this widget uniquely is that little label. And so that may be a accessibility comment, but for you as programmers, when you're saying, you want a name other than label 14, because you're going to have to be looking this up in a minute, and label 14 is not all that practical.
So, yeah, you can set rich descriptions. The underlying system will try to provide a lot of this for you, so you don't need to worry about it. Then the other game, you might have a widget that's being used in a non-standard way. It's not so strong in this discussion, so we don't have to do the numbers. Okay, so we can save this file. Let's not save it there. how it looks actually applied to the work. We can probably go on this. That's fine, yeah. So we can also do window one here. We can also do high button. We can also take that single button. We just grab the button. So say we had mentioned before, we could do a pass a component to be used. We could pass the top level of that to our components, construct numerous copies of it, and then pack them as we see fit.
We can actually go one further. Some people put multiple windows and you get them to a single waveform. I cannot do that, but you can do it. If a window has a few dialogs, windows can go with it, I can look at the dialogue in that file. Sometimes it makes sense easier to just talk it up without doing a lot of manual work to create it.
So we need a, at this point we've got a handle to our claim store. Because we're still called GK, which is Shalom, we need a handle to our window. So made XML get widgets, we pass the made XML file, we look here with the name XML get. Click on that one. It requires the reference to XML and it requires the name. The name was this window one. And now we have an actual widget reference. We can show it, we can call it. So we'll just
call
it out.
How much do I understand
if
like, we put additional windows into
the
XML file?
I build applications that have all my widgets in the XML file and then I individually construct them here. And you can construct them here one by one because I only construct the ones I need at any one time because it's going to keep my memory requirements down that way.
How much does the GUI understand that?
Sorry?
The GUI,
does
that understand?
The GUI, yeah. The GUI has a couple. So we'll add another one to show. Yeah. So you can hear window one, window two. So we just quickly compile this, and then we'll probably take a real quick break. So we've got results to our, we've got a handle for XML results, we've got a handle to our GTK window, we see that, we save it. Go here, go with that, go up a bit. At this point here, you're going to be mislaying that 2.0, because we want to grab the required libraries and include back to that. Package concrete will actually at that point when you pass multiple things with it, it will actually collate those, so it will pull the common ones forward and the specific ones back. So it actually will look at the dependency order required to build against a certain library. And at that point it will try and make the compiler do the right thing. Actually it will
And this case it actually goes one further. List lay depends on GTK and it will pull all the GTK dependencies in one way.
So we could in fact do that. We could drop GTK itself and the typical compile. If we have a look at that patch from the file very, very quickly, you can see required GTK to sorry, GTK plus dash 2.0,
which was a border string that we were at top patch config big pull in the previous one.
Okay, so we can now run our demo again. And you can see we've actually changed the release property back to this. It doesn't release, but there's our button. And it still behaves the way it's set. I said the advantage to Glade as well, which is worth mentioning, is if we just want to change the property now, we don't have to do any work, we just have to recompile. So we want to change small things where the button is border release. We actually want to turn that back to normal. Come to this window now, the button is normal. Say, go back to the total, no recompilation. And now it's got a normal button link. I'm going to look at the button link, it's just the embossing around the button. You see now embossed with button link non. Then it's just a flat surface. Say, if you're using field toolbar, yes?
One question, I'm just playing a little bit. Can you, for example, if you've got all your widgets in the horizontal boxes, is there any way to say, okay, this is a horizontal number, is that vertical?
You want to turn around?
Yeah, or in the case where the widget actually wants to say, like, more quick, where it's, okay, I was doing it this way, but okay, I'm going to do it this way.
We'll discuss compaction in a second. I don't think exactly what we want to do is possible yet.
So I can give us just 4 minutes and we can ask you a question then.
Okay, so much for that. So we'll get a break now.
No, compaction.
Do compaction.
And then we'll take a quick break and then we'll just all the rest of the time.
We don't want to run out of DVDs. Okay, so. So yes, you can use writecode, you can use Glaze, or you can do both. You can have WAV files where you programmatically add widgets inside that. You can have programmers create windows that you add chunks of Glaze files into. Because Glaze, like the objects that I've made are the same objects as GTK, you can mix and match. So you can create complex components inside a programmatic dynamic created widget. Or you can have dynamic created widgets inside a much more complex window.
We finally jump forward to the fact that what kind of layout engine does GTK use? I'm not going to elaborate what other systems do, you either know them or don't care. But in GTK, you use something known as block packing. And very simply, you've got a lot of widgets that give you the ability to do layout by packing things into other widgets. And they compress it up from larger down to smaller. But you have one thing that sometimes sends people for a bit of a loop is that you kind of have to, if you're like an internationalized program, you have to let go a little bit. And some people are trying to make the ultimate uber cool XMS, like, you know, funky shapes and everything else to be the most wicked cool user interface you've ever seen. That may be wicked cool at least, but it's not very usable because the buttons are like small and you can't actually hit anything because the targets are so tiny. And worse, it's not translatable and internationalizable. Because, for example, if you switch from English, which is a left to right language, to Hebrew or Arabic, which are right to left languages, the entire user interface needs to change. And the GNOME libraries and the translation instructions inside them support that really, really well. But one of the things that you have to accept is that maybe hello in English is going to be in Swahili. And that's just a long word, right? And so the box typing model includes the notion of side of request and side allocation, which is as they get packed in, they request a certain size based on how big the labels and content is in them, and they reshape them and are working. That when David was dragging the edge of that window around and resizing that button got bigger or smaller. Well, it didn't have a minimum size, which is pretty sensible, you know, how much size that needs to be the window. But there are, in the packaging model, there are places where you can specify that I want the children of this box to get all the extra space allocated to me or not. And that's actually where you can handle the business about growing. To answer the question about sizes,
So here's an example. This is what we do. GTK window pack. So we'll actually do this. We're going to talk about
So we're going to introduce a couple new widgets, which are the really important ones is VBOX and HBOX. And these, when we talk about box packs, we're going to be doing a lot. Think about the OK button. Okay? And it handles button in every single dialog. It seems like it's one widget, but it's actually a composite of several things. It's a button that contains an HBOX. Like a check mark, right? It says okay, it says sure. Yeah? Well, if you were to look at this, and actually this is where popping in late file function features on that something, the default stop okay button is actually an H box that has two things in it, and we're going to add more if we need to. It's got two things in it. One is a GTK image, which is a check mark PD symbol, and the other is a left image. And here is a label. It says, okay. And that's packed into a HBOX, which is packed into a button. Right? So, when we mentioned complex widgets a few times, the what appears to be a simple one-element device with the OK button is actually built up from pieces using, in this case, HBOX. And it's probably set so that, when you get into the details of the various properties, you can set, you can control how it expands. But it's simply set behavior.
Okay, so we did that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so that one was out. This one was out. So we'll just do what we said. So, we want to create a VBOX, so a virtual box. click number item 3. So you see here, a little bit smaller, three items, that here number item 3. So if you change it, you can turn it up, you can turn it down, and it's going to figure it out. So we want to so we can do that. We can still do probably if you can bend the angle if you want to. Yeah, we can go a bit less. Okay, so now we can pack in an 8 box. We can have 3 items again. We can drop some buffies in. Button 1, 2.
There's actually something called H button box specifically for the bottom row dialog, and it knows how to put the buttons in the right space and not have to drag out and use what they are here. But sometimes, you know, if you have a UI reason have a very big square in it, like for example this thing right in front of you, you've got
the
only buttons. It's good.
Which
button?
Which button?
H button.
No, that's being on the long enough.
It's one of the ones you don't kind of see because it's learning the dialog already has packed into it. And you just tell it, you know,
what
stock items you want.
So you can, in fact, then fill these cross-packages, which we don't go standard, make it feel possible. You don't have to fill any allocation space at all, which I still don't know. So we will say we overextend this one, we don't overextend this one, so now we get to fill up the entire space.
Because they were packed in, they're setting, don't take all the additional space, that's why it's pre-fill.
So presumably like the text of the launch as well?
Yes, okay. So that works, and this is something that was going to come up. In the API, you'll see when it's a bin widget, you can just add it to it. Actually, any container you can add it, it'll add it on the end. But the boxes add the notion of pack start, they call it, and pack in. So in the case of a horizontal button, these were just added pack start, but so in Blade, you can just use this property down right here, oh, box here says, if you're doing it programmatically, you use the pack start function call or the pack end call, and the pack is reference to any of the pre-treated packs from the start of the end, so they grow out this way,
Okay, I think we can find the break.
Oh,
change the break. Yeah. Now that I'm expanding these, we're talking to steps. This is perhaps the really nicest UI in the world, but okay, we're going to stop.
So finally, the question I want is, in the case of HBOX, it is an HBOX with variable width, but a fixed height always is. Whatever the biggest widget is in a given HBOX, that's what the minimum size will be, and others will grow to be it. In the VBOX case, the vertical space is variable, but the horizontal width is fixed. And there are other widgets to have other things. So, we're going to take a 5-minute break. I encourage you all to get up on your seats. I guess we've got to express fresh air. I'm not feeling we're going to go to the office. I'm going to rush out of here at 10:30. Of course, I understand they have that. But if we start at 10 minute place, because people won't find the building, and we'll take a 5-minute break. We might go to the warrior, but we don't have to.